each and every one of us and reveal His word to us. Let's bow our head. Precious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, we want to thank You for this beautiful morning. Thank You, Father, for it's a day we celebrate Your triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem. We remember, Lord, that You are our Savior. Just like how the children sang with palm leaves, singing glory to You, singing Hosanna to You, and asking You to save us. Lord, we call out to You today and pray that You would save us, have mercy on us, and bless us. Father, Lord, as we sit down to learn from Your word, to meditate on Your word, pray that You would speak to each and every one of us. Talk to us and bless us. Let Your Spirit work within us. Unless You reveal, Lord, nothing can be revealed. Unless You reveal, Lord, we cannot understand anything. Giving You all the glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The portion for today's meditation is Luke chapter 19, verses 28 to 40. Evangelion ayita achanadu vayichathu kondu onnoda vayikunnilla. Nammada sabhayayita inna chindikkan thanna vishayam is Hosanna Kartave Rakshikkanme. Hosanna, Lord, save us. That is the title which is given to us by the church today. So I was telling my daughter, I'll tell the church today what you told me in the morning. So morning when I was getting ready to come to church, I wore my sari and was getting dressed. She told me, why are you wearing white? I said, what's wrong with white? You know what day today is? I said, Palm Sunday. So then why are you wearing white? I said, I'm wearing white because I usually wear white on Palm Sunday. And then if you want a theological answer, maybe because Jesus is coming as king, so I'm wearing white. She said, no, you're supposed to wear green because children lifted palm leaves. So we had a bet as to who more number of people will wear white or green. So thank you to everybody who's wearing white. She'll specially congratulate all who are wearing green. So, see, the word Hosanna, when we asked our Sunday school children today morning, what does Hosanna mean? Again, there was a little confusion whether it is to praise God or whether it is Lord save us. No? So I think the term Hosanna always brings mixed feeling. Is it the palm leaves or is it Jesus coming on the donkey? Is it the people? Is it the donkey? Is it Jesus? Lots of questions what it means to different people. So as I was meditating, I was thinking that is something that, you know, I thought it was so an eye-opener as I was meditating on what Hosanna meant for these different people. What did it mean for the people who raised the palm leaves? What did it mean for the donkey? What did it mean for Jesus himself? So here in verses 28 to 31, we read that Jesus giving instruction to two of his disciples to go and get things ready. So for the Lord, was this something that happened abruptly? When Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, suddenly he decides, right from the time he was 12 years old, he used to come every year, he used to walk every year to Jerusalem. We know the story of how his parents came to dedicate the boy Jesus when he was 12 years old. And then suddenly they see that Jesus is not there. They go back to the temple looking for him and he says, don't you know I'm supposed to be in my father's house? This is where I belong. And so he used to walk, and now why is he taking a donkey? So was this something he had planned, or was it suddenly he decided, oh, I'm not walking today, just get a donkey? But we realize from the scripture that he is fulfilling a prophecy. This was prophesied long, long ago. In 520 BC, we believe that the book of Zechariah was written. Zechariah 9:9 says, rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So these words, sometimes when I first read it, I thought they were contradicting. How can you be victorious and lowly? I mean, it's so difficult for me when I get victory to be humble. You know, it says he comes righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey. If I get victory, I would be just the contrary of lowly and, you know, riding on a donkey. Maybe I would have chosen a horse. But here you see the nature of the Son of God being displayed through the prophecy, and he fulfilling it in his time, at the perfect time. So it says, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it, bring it here. If anyone asks you why you're untying it, say the Lord needs it. So it's in perfect fulfillment. Jesus is not, you know, at that time planning something, but as through his life, he's always shown was a fulfillment of a God's great plan, fulfillment of the great prophecy. Here also he fulfills that prophecy and he says, go and untie a colt. And just like how it says in the book of Zechariah, on a colt, the foal of a donkey, Jesus comes riding on a, Jesus asks them to go and bring the colt. And they say, so when you're doing it, if people ask you why you're doing it, just tell them the Lord needs it. So when we usually for, when kings used to go for a war, which animal do you think they would pick? Horse. No, you go on a donkey, you're not likely to win. But then when you go for a peace treaty, it's supposedly you go on a donkey because it's lowly. And in case you have time, the young people, you can go to the Farmington Library. There's a book called Silver Donkey. It's just a story, but it tells you about how the mother of Jesus, it talks about the donkey which carried the mother of Jesus and the donkey's journey and things like that. In the end, there's a small thing which they said I liked. It says, it's just a fictitious bit, but then it's nice to imagine it like that. The donkey kisses Jesus and the donkey dies, it seems. So then Joseph is worried and he says, well, how could this donkey die? And then a wise woman tells, no, if the donkey kissed your son, that means he will become just like the donkey. So then Joseph is worried and he says, the donkey is royal, the donkey is noble, the donkey is humble, the donkey is a messenger of peace, and that is what your son will be. So he was the prince of peace, and the prince of peace chose this donkey. When he was in his mother's womb, Mary used the donkey to travel to get the census. And now he is coming riding on a donkey as the prince of peace. He's a king. He's a prince. What kind of prince? Not the one who's going for war on a horsetop, but the one who's coming on a donkey as the prince of peace to establish his kingdom of peace. And that is the message which gives us relief and comfort, because he is the prince of peace. If he is in our life, if he is riding in our lives, our lives will be more peaceful. We will be filled with his peace regardless of the turmoil and situations around us. And then here the Lord say, and Jesus tells them to say, the Lord needs it. So my kids make fun of me. There's a story called The Lost Donkey, and they associate me with the donkey. So they always say, Amma is the lost donkey. So are we willing to be that donkey for the Lord? You know, when the Lord wants to sit on us, here it says the Lord needs it. When the Lord needs us, are we willing to surrender ourselves and to say, yes, when the Lord needs it, needs us, I will go. Here the donkey is making that journey and coming into the this one. So we see that Jesus is fulfilling the prophecy, and he is coming in his king to show, displaying his kingship, being the prince of peace, displaying his victory and displaying his humility. Secondly, I was thinking, what did the Hosanna mean for this poor donkey? So again, I'm inspired a lot by that story, the silver donkey. So here it says, when Achan read today our Hashakramam, he was saying, Marikamillatha kalitha kuttimel nee kayari. Marikamillatha, untamed. It was a donkey which was not tamed. How did they infer that? Because it's written here, you will find a colt there which no one has ridden. No one has ever sat on it. So unless and until one or two people sit on it and tame it, it's not a tamed donkey as yet. Perhaps they tied it there hoping to tame it sometime soon. And it was a donkey which no one had ever ridden. So that is why we say, Marikamillatha kalitha kuttimel. So often our lives are also untamed. You know, you need the Lord to tame. But when the Lord called and it came, it was Jesus just had to hold the reins and the donkey was tamed. In our lives, we may have passions, we may have desires, we may have sinful attitudes, which we think cannot be tamed. You know, we think we are untamed. But if we give the reins into the hands of the Lord, he can tame us. We can become like the untamed donkey becomes a tamed donkey. He's going wherever the Lord wants him to go. He's willing to walk that path to Jerusalem. So from being untamed to being tamed. From the village, he was happily staying in the village, on the dusty village street, tied outside in a cool, perhaps in the shade of a tree. But when the Lord says, you will walk to the city with me, he goes and walks. So when we give our reins of our life into the Lord's hands, he can tame us. Secondly, we can make the journey. And where is Jesus leading this donkey? To Jerusalem. to the holy city. So when we give the reins of our lives into God's hands, he can lead us to salvation. He can lead us to eternal life. And he is the one who can direct our path. But is it good to allow him to direct the path is the question. See, the donkey could have been free and wild, just going where he wanted. Now Jesus will dictate where he has to go. That is a problem even with our lives. If Jesus takes the reins, he dictates where we should go. He dictates things which we like to do. He may say, no, don't do it. Things which we don't like to do, he may say, do it. Every time Achan says one prasangam, I'm like, are you sure? You know? So when we submit ourselves to God and say, if God wants, here I am. You know, I can be that donkey for the Lord. So when we give our passions into God's hands, when we give our desire in our sinfulness, maybe areas in our life which we are trying to change and which we are finding difficult to change, failures in our life, sinfulness in our life, whatever untamed passion, unbridled desires, when we commit it into God's hands, he can tame us, he can change us, and he can lead us to the holy city. Jesus says, the word of God says, take my yoke. So if he has to allow Jesus to take the reins, what should he do? He should lower his neck for the Lord to take the reins. He must lower his back for the Lord to get on his back. So if we can lower our necks and submit to God, and so Jesus says that in that context, Jesus says, take my yoke. It is light. Endanugam mruduvaunu. So take his yoke and follow him. And when he is in control, that means when we allow the Lord Jesus to take control of our lives, then he will direct our path. The path may be narrow, And few people take it, is what the word of God says. But if we decide to take that path and journey with him, he will lead us to the heavenly Jerusalem. Then on verse 35, let me read that. They brought it to Jesus. They threw their cloaks on the colt and put Jesus on it. So when they brought the cloak, the colt, and they brought the young donkey to Jesus, what did they do? Did they say, okay, Jesus, here's your donkey, do what you want? No. What did they do? They are going to present this donkey to Jesus. So the disciples take off their cloaks and put it on the donkey. They put their cloaks and prepare the donkey for the Lord. When we ask the Lord to come into our hearts, when we come to church and say, of course, I'm a Christian. Of course, yeah, I love being a Christian. It's so nice. I want to be a witnessing Christian. Are we meaning it? Are we preparing ourselves for it? Or are we just using our words to express things which we don't mean? Here the disciples were very serious. They immediately take off their cloaks, put the cloak on the donkey, and they prepare him for the Lord. So are we preparing? Do we also prepare our hearts, our minds similarly when we ask the Lord to come into our lives? The Revelations 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, let him open the door, and I will come in and have a meal with him. So the Lord Jesus is always knocking at the door of our heart. We only, if we are prepared, can we open the doors and let him in. Do we like to, as a part of the preparation, what is the first part of preparation? How do we prepare ourselves? I think it's easier for me as a person to justify when I go wrong. Now, even if I see that most of you are wearing green, I'll tell my daughter, no, white. You don't know. People don't know. You know, I like to justify my stand, and I like to say that I'm always right. But in front of the Lord, are we still justifying our faults, our mistakes, or are we trying to say, Lord, you are right, I am wrong. Show me what is right. Give me the wisdom to and the humility to change and do what is right. Give me the wisdom, give me the humility to make. In Malayalam, there's a song which says, Ennile illayma kaanal atma darshanam egane. To see the shortcomings, open my eyes, Lord. So that is one way we can prepare ourselves when we go into God's presence and say, God, or we can make the prayer like the Pharisee and the tax collector. The Pharisee who said, Lord, I am righteous. No, I go to church every Sunday. I keep all the fast. 50 days I've been fasting for Lent. I've been giving a little of my money also, recisa, to the church. That's what the Pharisee says. I'm a righteous man. But look at this tax collector. He doesn't do anything. And I'm such a righteous man. But Jesus appears to the tax collector because his repentance was very sincere. He really wanted Jesus to come into his life. So in our lives, we may do good things. We may be popular in the church. Everybody may think we are somebody special, but then are our hearts prepared for the Lord? Do we repent before the Lord and say, Lord, show me where I am going wrong. Show me my shortcomings. Reveal to me where I need to repair my life. And that is how we prepare ourselves and our hearts for the Lord. Finally, again, one more thing about the donkey that we see. They brought him to Jesus through their cloaks and on the colt. And as he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. People spread their clothes. This fellow was standing in a dusty road, village road, the donkey. He was tied under a tree, perhaps standing in the shade of the tree. But now he is walking where? He's walking on the city highway. People are spreading their shawls, their towels, their cloaks, palm branches, and he is walking as if he is a royal king. See how the walk of the donkey changed from a poor, from an unnoticed area to he's going to a prominent area. You know, so maybe his friends would have told him, you know where Jerusalem is? It's a very important place. You won't get to go there. But then when the Lord calls him, he gets to go there. He gets to walk on a red carpeted welcome he is getting only because he allowed the Lord to sit on his back and to take control of his life. It's not, if the donkey had come alone, nobody would have even... Maybe they would have taken a stick and beat him. Why are you walking to Jerusalem? Why are you going near our temple? But no, because the Lord was on it, they welcomed him. So when the Lord Jesus is in our life, he is the King of glory. He is clothed in glory is what that portion says. He is clothed in glory. When the Lord who is clothed in glory is able to clothe this, clothe us also with his righteousness. Just like how the donkey was covered, God will cover us with his righteousness. He will cover, he'll take away our shame, he'll take away our guilt, he'll take away our sins, and he will cover us with his glory and with his righteousness if only we allow him to take control of our lives. Finally, the experience of the people. How are the people responding to the Palm Sunday, Palm Sunday we call it now, to the triumphal entry of Jesus, when they were shouting, Hosanna. Verses 37 and 38, let me read. It says, when he came near the place where the ancient road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. They were actually praising God in loud voices for all that Jesus had done. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven, glory on earth. So they were happy because they had seen Jesus doing so many miracles. Now they were convinced he is the Messiah. At that point, they thought he is the one. We need to prepare the road for him. And when they said this, but they had something else in mind. And the problem is Jesus had something else in mind. After they sing Hosanna, after a couple of days, what do they sing? They change the song. Now they say Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. After 3 days, what do they sing? Crucify him, crucify him. You know, he needs to be crucified. How did the song change? Because when they said, Hosanna, Hosanna, they had a particular picture in their mind. They had a picture that he is going to come and win them a political victory and going to get them, win them a geographical place. They thought he's going to come, take out his sword now, and he's going to defeat all the Romans, and the Jews will have their own nation. And the Jewish nation is going to be established, and he is going to sit on David's throne, and so many dreams like that. But this Jesus comes not even on a horse, he comes on a donkey, and what does he do? He's preaching peace, love your enemies, be good to those who hate you. And they're like, this is not the kind of king we wanted. We wanted a king who can defeat our enemies, who can fight for us, and who can make others lose. Often in our lives, we also love God when he fulfills our needs. When God can fulfill my agenda. But Jesus was not fulfilling their agenda at that time. Jesus had a different plan. He wanted to prepare a heavenly place for them. They wanted physical victory. Jesus wanted them to have a holistic victory, victory of the body, mind, and soul and spirit. They only thought of a geographical place, but Jesus was having an eternal place in mind for them. You know, they thought a small place on the land is what they want, but Jesus was having a bigger picture of an eternal heaven being prepared for them. So sometimes our desires and Jesus' desires clash. So how do we respond? Do we rather have Jesus be crucified and lay there on the cross, or be hidden in the tomb, hidden away in the tomb with the rock closed? Or would we have him to still dictate our life? When Jesus says, no, this is not the way. My plans are different. You know, like Sony read the epistle today wherein he read, even unto he, though being the son, he suffered on the cross. You know, through his suffering, he totally obeyed God. Obedience through suffering is what he read, and he perfectly obeyed God. He prayed to God, who could save him from death, and he obeyed him till his death. So that is the portion that we read today. So here we see Jesus submitting to God's will. He knows in a couple of days these people are going to betray me. My disciples are going to run away. In spite of that, he chose to obey. Do we have the desire? Are we willing to obey God even when the path is narrow? Even when we know that it's going to be hard. It's not all going to be in our favor. Sometimes the sun will beat down upon us. Sometimes people may insult us. They may not see the point in what we are seeing. But if we are true to God, he can clothe us in glory. He can clothe us in righteousness. And he can lead us. So more than a political liberation, Jesus, what did he do when he healed the paralytic and other people? He would say, son, your sins are forgiven. He wants us to be free. So he is the liberator. He is the liberator who can liberate us from all things which bind us, not just politically. So that is something that they fail to see. So something that we have to decide is, do we still need God who can say no to our desires? We say no because we see the smaller picture and God sees the bigger picture. Do we want to say, Lord, your will be done in my life, or Lord, somehow do something and fulfill my will in my life? It's my life. So you fulfill my desire. Is that our prayer? Or are we saying, Lord, what is your will? Show me and let fulfill that. And I'll just read the first verse which Achin read as the opening verse today, call to worship before the thing. Psalm 24, verses 7 to 10. Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. So lift up, you gates. Lift up, you ancient doors. I didn't know what this meant until my father-in-law explained it to me yesterday. He said, who is this ancient door? Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors. Who are these ancient doors? Who are these ancient doors? Refers to the Israel, refers to the Jewish people. Be lifted up, lift up your heads, lift up your gates, and allow the Lord to come in. They were not able to recognize that Jesus is the Messiah. They believed in God. In today morning's Bible study, as we were discussing, they believed God, but they could not accept that Jesus is his son. Jesus is the Messiah. So if you do not have son, you do not have life. If you have son, you have the life. That's what the word of God says. But here, be lifted up, you ancient doors. This was a reference to the Jewish community saying, open your hearts, open your doors. Let the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord strong in battle, let him come into your city, let him come into your hearts. And this is the message, I think, for us as Marthamites, especially as Syrian Christians. We are very proud of our heritage. We say we were Christians even before St. Thomas came to India. We were there, even before Jesus, if we could say. You know, we boast of a very rich legacy, all that is good. I'm also proud in that sense, you know, to belong to a legacy which is so old. But then are we satisfied and complacent with that? Or are we like those ancient doors which are shut for the Lord? Are we opening our hearts? Are we opening our doors? Are we lifting our heads and say, the King of glory, Lord strong and mighty in battle, come into my heart, come into my life. I'm willing to have you. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, let him open the door, and I will come in and have meal with him. Are we open to have the Lord come into our lives and have that fellowship? Surrender ourselves like this donkey to say, Lord, your will be done in my life, not my will. Verses 39 to 40, the last few verses, last two verses says, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. Why are they singing praise to you? They should not be doing such things. Tell them to keep quiet. First of all, they were jealous. Secondly, they didn't think Jesus deserved all this, you know. And what does Jesus say? I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. When God gives us opportunity, that's something Achin always reminds me. When God gives us opportunity, if we don't use it, God will find other ways to fulfill it. But then our purpose in life is lost. You know, when God gives us opportunity to do something, the stones will still cry out if the disciples don't. But God meant the disciples to do it. If the disciples keep quiet, God has the nature which he created. Stones will cry out. Don't worry about how God will fulfill it. But then the disciples lose that opportunity to praise him. As children of God, when we come to church, that is something we have to remember. We have the opportunity to praise him. If we don't sing, nothing will happen to God. God is still glorified. But if we don't sing, we are losing that opportunity to praise Him. Let's just lift our voice. Let's sing together. Let's just open our hearts and minds, and let's open our voices and sing with the choir. Sing with, you know, the response. Let's follow the book, or now we have the projector. Let's open our hearts and minds and sing praise to God. Even if we don't praise, the stones will praise Him. The walls here might praise Him. But we lose the opportunity to magnify the Lord and for Him to have Him in our life. So to just conclude, to summarize what I said, first we saw the prophecy about Jesus being fulfilled, and when He came on a donkey, he was fulfilling His prophecy of being the Prince of Peace, His kingship, His victory, as well as His humility. Then secondly, we see the donkey, how He came to be tamed from the untamed position to the tamed position. So when we give our lives into God's hands, all our unbridled passions and desires or whatever, God can tame it and make us into the kind of people that He wants us to be. Thirdly, we see the donkey was clothed when he was brought into God's presence. When we ask the Lord to take control of our lives, He will take away our shame, our guilt, our nakedness, and clothe us with His glory and righteousness. Finally, when the donkey surrendered, what happened? He journeyed into the Jerusalem, the city, into the holy city. When we surrender our lives into God's hands, He will lead us into the heavenly Jerusalem, the place which He has prepared for us by giving His own life on the cross. And finally, we saw the responsibility that people had. They were only welcoming and singing Hosanna with their lips, but they were plotting against Him the next day. So are we also just praising God with our lips without inviting Jesus into our hearts? We need to open our hearts. When we open our hearts to the Lord, then there comes what? Transformation. On the way to Damascus, when Saul met Jesus, what happened? Saul became Paul. There was a great transformation. When we allow the light of Jesus into our hearts, that is where transformation happens. That is where humility comes. That is where acceptance and love abounds. So if we see that the society around us is not proper, perhaps we need to ask ourselves, do I have something to work? Why am I not seeing anything good? You know, maybe I need to see things with more love, with more acceptance. Maybe I need Jesus in my life. Because wherever Jesus went, He could accept people, even the worst of sinners. The Pharisees couldn't tolerate. They used to say, why are you going and eating with these tax collectors and sinners? They are bad people. You are supposed to be a holy man. You should not be eating with them. But Jesus had no problem. His holiness did not diminish. It only became more. Other people were inspired to be like Jesus when He went among sinners, among the lost and the least. So when we find sinners around us, people disobeying God, if we are disturbed, that means we are not like Jesus. If Jesus could go to them with all love, touch them, heal them, and they would be transformed. So when we are transformed and when we are inspired, people around us are also transformed and inspired. Finally, it is our responsibility to praise the Lord. Like what we said, Jesus says, if they keep quiet, if the disciples keep quiet, if the children keep quiet, the stones will cry out praise to the Lord. So even if we don't praise God, God loses nothing, but we lose a lot. So it is our responsibility, a privilege and an honor to worship the King of heaven and earth. So when we come to worship or at our homes or wherever we are, let's be happy to open our mouth and heart and to praise God. Thank you.
Subin Thomas will lead us in prayer.